about the rain is that it's very good to take the shots. Because everything will be clear. It clears out all the dust in the air and everything. So for about 12 hours after it stops raining, it's really clear. Okay, so what we're going to do is we chant a special prayer. Actually, we should chant... Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Does everybody know Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu? No. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Okay, because that's about Lord Chaitanya and his associates. That's a very good song to sing. Tomorrow we'll sing it also. Okay, should I play the harmonium? No, why don't you give me the harmonium? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sabaya Chananada Bhakti Banana Gosami Manchila Prabhupada Kijai Eskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindi Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Parense Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadaka Sivasiddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govagavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavaram Ki Jai Maturidam Ki Jai Navadeepdam Ki Jai Jagannathasami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Shimyatya Lassi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Om. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so we'll read the translation to this prayer and then we'll start talking about the Vaitacharya. My dear Lord, please be merciful to me, because who could be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls, but I assure you that you will not find a more fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first. My dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss. Since you are always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am most unhappy. If you kindly put your glance over me, I may also become happy. My dear Dwaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind, kindly, please be kind to me. If you are so kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda will also be kind to me. I pray for the mercy of Sarup Damodar, the six Goswamis, namely Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, and I, Narottama Das, pray for the merciful Srinivasacharya, and I always desire the company of Ramachandra. So the Ramachandra he's talking about is a disciple of Srinivasacharya, not Lord Ramachandra. Of course, he also desires Lord Ramachandra's association. So now we'll talk about Advaita Charya. So, Omagana. Timiranda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Maha. So, first of all, I have some questions to ask you all. So, who are the five persons that we worship on the altar and what are their names? What is the name of all of them together? They're called the. Very good. And what are their names?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur.
No.
Shri
Advaita. Dwaita, that's number three. Gadadhar. Now you missed one. Think about it.
Shivas.
And Adigora Bhaktivinoda means the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. But the five are Lord Chaitanya. And who is Lord Chaitanya?
A mix of Krishna and Radharani.
He's Krishna, who is in the mood of Radharani. So, and sometimes Lord Chaitanya exhibits that form to Ramananda Roy. He showed that he was Radha and Krishna combined. And sometimes Lord Chaitanya exhibits something called the Sadbhuja form. What's the Sadbhuja form?
Six-hand form.
Yeah, so which six hands does he have?
Ram, Krishna, and his hands.
And Chaitanya. Yeah. So what are in the six hands?
Bow and arrow, Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
The
Kalash. Kalash, yeah. Kamandalu, actually. So, that's very nice. See how much they know. Good devotees. Okay, so that's Lord Chaitanya. He's Krishna himself. So why did Krishna come as Lord Chaitanya?
To deliver all the fallen souls.
That's good. And because Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Krishna. So why, what, let's say, I guess we shouldn't talk about the esoteric. Why did Lord Chaitanya come for his own reasons? He had his own reasons. First of all, his reason was to deliver us, but then he had some like inside emotional reasons. Do you know? And he wanted to understand Radharani's happiness, and he wanted to see himself through the eyes of Radharani. Because Radharani enjoys more than Krishna. That's amazing, isn't it? So Krishna wants to become a devotee. Do you know, you are Krishna's devotee, but if you become a pure devotee of Krishna, then you'll have more happiness than Krishna. And Krishna has so much happiness, he's playing all the time. Did you know that, Keshav? Krishna plays all the time. He never has to work. Radharani
has to.
Radharani, then her, she never has to work either. She's just always serving Krishna.
Yeah, holding the butterpots on the tax collector.
Yeah, Krishna's the tax, so Krishna's always playing.
Yeah.
So if you want to enjoy more than Krishna, then you can actually serve Krishna. That's pretty good, isn't it? Okay, so that's Krishna. Prabhu Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. Who's Lord Nityananda?
Balaram.
Another name?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's brother.
Brother. Is he older or younger?
Older.
Older. Why is he older?
Because
Balaram
is older than Krishna.
Yeah, but why is Balaram older than Krishna? Lakshman.
Lakshman, he didn't like to be younger and always listen.
That's right. He didn't like some of the things that happened. To Ram.
That Ram told him to do.
Yes.
What did Ram tell Lakshman to do that he didn't like? Okay, so you should know this. Ram told Lakshman to do what with Sita?
Put her in the jungle.
In the jungle, that's right. And put her in something else, too. What do you cook with?
Fire.
Fire. So Sita had to go into the fire, too, right? Okay. And so... Yeah, he wanted to be older, so... Because an older brother has to be the boss. Just like... Who's older, Keshav or Isha?
She's me.
So you have to listen to her because she's the boss.
If she's too bossy, I just...
All right, so then... That's why Lord Nityananda appeared older. And so that's Lord Nityananda. He's Balaram. Another name of Lord Nityananda is Sesha. Why is it called Sesha?
Nantashesh.
And Nantashesh is what?
Vishnu's
bed. Couch. Bed. And how many heads does he have? Can you count them?
Six.
Ananta. What does Ananta mean? What? They don't know. Unlimited. Infinite.
Unlimited
heads. So, Anantashesh is always serving. So, Anantashesh is always serving Lord Vishnu. So, in the same way, Lord Nityananda is always serving. And Lord Chaitanya is served by Lord Nityananda because Lord Nityananda is Lord Chaitanya's Brahman thread. The throne or the sannyasana, all those things. So that's, all right, so now we get to Advaita. So who's Advaita?
Advaita is...
Is he God or is he like one of us or what?
I think he's Brahma. No.
No. Advaita is God. He's an expansion of...
Narada.
No, he's not Narada. He's God, G-O-D. He's an expansion of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And he's an expansion of... You ever heard of the Mahavishnu? Keshav, have you heard of Mahavishnu? He's the big... Mahavishnu means the big Vishnu. And he breathes out. And what comes out when he breathes out? All the universes come out. And when he breathes in... So we're right now he's breathing out, so we're here. And when he breathes in, we're finished. The soul enters into his body and you can't do anything. You're just bored. For many, many millions, billions of years, you're bored. So that's Mahavishnu. And also look, Advaitacharya is called Sada Shiva. Who's Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is a servant of Krishna. And Sadashiva is actually an expansion of Krishna in the spiritual world. In the material world, Shiva is not actually God. He's a servant of God. For the spiritual realm, the Sadashiva, from whom the Shiva in this world comes, is actually Vishnuta, we call Vishnuta, he's God. So at the time of the destruction of this world, who destroys the world? Shivji. What does he do?
When he opens his third eye.
He does what?
Opens his third eye.
Third eye. And what does he, but what does he do? He just sits there? He dances. Haven't you ever seen like this big circle around Lord Shiva and he's dancing like that? That's called the Tandava Nritya.
Yeah, Krishna does that on Kali Nag.
No, it's a different nritya. A different dance.
Oh yeah, and when he was dancing, Lord Shiva started dancing.
Yeah, so Lord Shiva, when he's getting ready to destroy the material world, he comes from the forehead of Anantashesh, which is really interesting. So that's a Dvaitacharya. He's always the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Okay, and then, so we got three of them so far, right? So the next one is who? We got Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Dvaitacharya. Who's the next one? Gadadhar. And Gadadhar is Radharani, who is Krishna's best servant. And then is Srivastava is who? He is Narada Muni. So you have Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, you have Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram, you have Advaitacharya, who is the Mahavishnu, you have Gadadhar, who is Radharani, and you have Srivas, who is Narada Muni. Okay. And that's called the Pancha Tattva, the five truths. Okay. So, Sadashiva, who is Advaitacharya, in Vrindavan, he takes the form of a coward boy and he dances with Krishna. So it's interesting, like all the different incarnations of Krishna, the expansions of Krishna, they appear in different places. And also the devotees come in different places. Like Narada Muni, he's everywhere. Narada Muni can be in Goloka Vrindavan, Narada Muni can be in Vaikuntha Planet, Narada Muni can be here. What does Narada Muni look like, Keshav?
He has like this.
Always looking at the movies. He's thinking.
I can go by everything on the TV.
He's a brahmachari.
He can fly.
He can fly. And what instrument does he play? Guitar?
What's the
Veena. Veena. Okay, very good. And who? Which little boy was his disciple?
Prahlad
Maharaj, very nice. And Dhruv, okay, you've got two little boys there. Okay, so let's continue with the Dvaitacharya, trying to make it interesting for the children, rather than too philosophical. So, Dvaitacharya's name when he was born was Kamalaksha. What does Kamalaksha mean? What does Aksha mean? No cheating. Aksha, you know, is that similar in Hindi, Aksha?
They don't know some of the lily.
What does Kamala mean? Kamala, that's an easy. Everybody knows that.
Lotus.
Aksha means?
Finish, it means awful.
What? Oho.
Finish.
Oho.
Kamala.
Oh, yeah, it means awful. It means awful. Like Kamala, awful fish or something like that?
Yeah.
Kamala.
Kamala Kalavati.
Kamala Kalavati means awful fish. Fishbowl. But in Sanskrit, it means lotus-eyed one, kamalaksha. Like sometimes the parents call their children kamalaksha, a dear lotus-eyed children. And sometimes the parents are so attached to their children, even if their children don't have lotus eyes, they call them lotus eyes. And sometimes even if the children are blind, the parents say, oh, my lotus-eyed child. So he's called Kamalaksha. Let's see, what is another name? There was another name here. It's a Dwaita. He's called a Dwaita because a Dwaita means not to. What does it mean, not to? It means he's the same as Krishna. But one time, Mother Sachi, here's a story, got very angry. Who's Sachi, Mata?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mom.
She got very angry at Advaitacharya. Because Advaitacharya was associating with who? Visvarup, who was Lord Chaitanya's brother. And Visvarup took sannyas. And he left home. He left home in the middle of the night because his parents were describing or discussing getting him married. He thought, I just want to chant Hare Krishna. So he left home, and Mother Sachi got very angry with Advaitacharya. She said, he is not Advaita. That means non-dual, means one. He is Dwaita. Now, Dwaita also could mean like two-faced. You understand? You know what two-faced means? That means one who is lying. Here's a very interesting. In America, the American Indians used to criticize the white people who came. They said, white man speaks with forked tongue. Did you ever hear this before?
Yeah.
You don't know what that means. Forked tongue, like a snake has a forked tongue. That means that, also it means that one is telling the same one thing and meaning another thing. You've heard that expression before. Anybody who's watched the Western movies has seen that. White man speaks with forked tongue. That's how they now you heard, now that I made the right accent, you heard it. Because you used to watch Westerns. There was the Indian. White man speaks with forked tongue. Like that. So that means that he's saying one thing and meaning another thing. He's cheating. So Mother Sachi said about Advaitacharya, you are a big cheater. But guess what? That was an offense. So later on, when the devotees asked, is Mother Sachi going to get pure love of God? Lord Chaitanya said, no. She has committed an offense against Advaitacharya. And the devotees said, what can she do? And Lord Chaitanya said she has to go to the lotus feet of Advaitacharya and beg forgiveness. So she did that. And Advaitacharya was very embarrassed. So anyway, so Kamalaksha was his name, and also Advaita, which means he's the same as Krishna. And as he was born, actually several different people say he was born in different places, so that's not that important. He was born in 1434. How many years ago was that? Nobody knows. Almost 600 years ago. That's a long time.
What year?
1434. Now, how do we measure years? That's an interesting question. When we talk about the year 2000, what's this year?
2013.
But what does it mean, 2013? Do you know?
2080.
80 means what?
The death
planet. Something like after Christ. So that's how. See, you can actually teach mathematics using, like Prabhupada said, you can learn everything from his book. So if you actually take things that are somewhat related, you can actually teach mathematics and everything but at the same time to the children. So he took book of birth in 1434 and he left this world in 1559. That means how many years? Okay, you have 1559 and you subtract 1434 from it. I mean, if this was class, we would have you have a piece of paper and do the mathematics. That means he lived for 125 years. That's pretty old, isn't it? Have you ever met anyone 125 years old? I met someone who was like 108 years old. Actually, he was someone at Radhakund many years ago. And he was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And his disciples, because he couldn't walk at 108, his disciples had to carry him on a palanquin to worship the deities. And also there's another great devotee named Jagannath Das Babaji. You ever hear that story? Jagannath Das Babaji was the spiritual master of who? You don't know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered Lord Chaitanya's appearance place, he brought his guru to that place, and his guru couldn't walk. He had to be carried on a basket, in a basket. That'd be interesting. Later on, you can carry me in a basket. Keshav, you can do that? Oh, I'll weigh a lot less than that when I'm 100. When I'm 120 years old, I'll be a lot lighter. So, and you'll be a lot bigger. So, he carried him in a basket, and then when they came to Lord Chaitanya's appearance place, what happened to Jagannath Das Babaji? He jumped out of the basket and started dancing in ecstasy, even though he was 120 years old. Pretty good, isn't it? So a 120-year-old devotee. Because a devotee never gets old. Even though the body gets old, the consciousness always remains good. So Advaitacharya stayed in this world for 125 years. And he was old enough to be basically the grandfather of Lord Chaitanya. How long did Lord Chaitanya stay in this world? Does anyone know? Any of the adults know?
39.
No. 48 years. Mm-hmm. And the first.
But, I guess he lived younger than me.
The first 24 years of his life, he was in Navadvip with his family. And then the next 24, he was either in Jagannath Puri, traveling around India, all the holy places. And then how did Lord Chaitanya leave this world?
There's a crack on his knee. When he entered into the deity, the knee cracked.
Yeah, Toda Gopinath deity. You saw that deity?
No.
Good. Did you have the Pujari lift the skirt so you could see it? That's
yes.
Good. You have to pay him 100 rupees a person.
Yes.
50? Price has gone down. Usually.
Yeah.
Usually costs some money like that. So, all right. So that was Lord Chaitanya. So only 48 years. So try to imagine, like, Lord Chaitanya was young enough to be the grandson of Advaitacharya. Yet Advaitacharya lived longer than Lord Chaitanya. He lived after Lord Chaitanya left this world. It's interesting. And so before Lord Chaitanya appeared, Advaitacharya and his wife, what was his wife's name? What's the wife of Lord Ramchandra?
Sita.
So it's the same name. So Advaitacharya is also known as Sitapati. What's Sitapati mean?
Husband of Sita.
He's the husband of Sita, or he's the lord of Sita. Just like I said, someone was something pati the other day. I said, Keshav was Krorpati. So Advaitacharya is known as Sitapati. And so Sitapati, Advaitacharya and Sita, they went to Navadvip before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And Mother Sachi was pregnant. And so what Advaitacharya did was very unusual. He went to the house of Lord Chaitanya. Remember, he was old enough to be their grandfather, so it's not a big problem. And he took sandalwood pulp and smeared it on the stomach of Mother Sachi. Wouldn't that be unusual for someone to do that? Grandfather to come to the house and smear it on your mother's stomach or something? And then he circumambulated, offering obeisances to Mother Sachi. Because he understood that who was within her womb? Who was within Mother Sachi's womb?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Because Mother Sachi is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, right? Okay, so, and then later on, after Lord Chaitanya was born, Sita, the wife of Advaitacharya, took care of Lord Chaitanya when he was a little baby. And also took care of Sachi Mata. Okay, so more information. So Lord Advaitacharya's parents were named Kubera Pandit and Nava Devi. So when they died, usually when parents die or people die, you go to Gaia. What is Gaia? Does anyone know? Gaia is a place on the Ganges River where there's the lotus feet of Krishna. And so like when your relative dies, people go there to perform this pinda. Pinda means like the memorial service. And they pray to Krishna and the demigods and everything like that. But instead of doing that, he went right to Vrindavan. And when he went right to Vrindavan, he stayed in Vrindavan, and then he understood through his meditation that Krishna was going to appear. And let's see what... And Advaitacharya had two wives. In those days, people had two wives. Now it's not allowed anymore. One was named Sri, and the other one was Sita. And Sita was considered to be Yogamaya. Does everyone know what Yogamaya is? Yogamaya is like the person who's in charge of Vrindavan, who makes everything work in Vrindavan. Like she arranged for the rain to happen today. It's true. Anything that happens in this Braj area is arranged by Yogamaya.
I think the rain stopped.
Yeah, maybe it stopped. Anyway, so she's arranging for everything, and then Sri, her sister, is actually her expansion. So they're not just ordinary personalities. And Advaitacharya lived in two places. He lived in Mayapur, and he lived in Shantipur. You been in Shantipur? No, probably haven't been in Shantipur. When you go to Mayapur, you pass through Shantipur. But that was Advaitacharya. So he had a house. Advaitacharya's house is right next to something called Srivas Angam. Did you go to Srivas Angam when you were there? Did you go to Advaita Bhavan? Because like in Srivas Angam, if you go into Srivas Angam, and then you, in the same courtyard, you cross to the left, there's another little temple, and that's its way to Bhavan. So I'm sure you went there. Because everybody goes to Srivas Angam. And its way to Bhavan. And then, let's see what happened then. And he was teaching about Krishna wherever he went. So once upon a time, there was a great devotee named Madhavendra Puri who came to Shantipur. And he stopped at Advaita's house, and Advaitacharya accepted him as a guru. So, Madhavendra Puri is who? I mean, who is Madhavendra Puri's main disciple who became the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya? Who is Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master? Nobody knows. Ishwara Puri. And so Madhavendra Puri was the spiritual master of Ishwara Puri. And Madhavendra Puri was the one who discovered which deity we talked about the other day. Remember we going around Govardhan? And we said that Madhavendra Puri had a dream.
Gopal.
And Gopal appeared to him. And before that, Gopal brought him some milk. And then Madhavendra Puri saw the dream where Gopal was hidden in the bushes. And so he told all the villagers, they got Gopal out, and they installed him on top of Govardhan Hill. That's where that big temple is we saw the other day. So Advaitacharya took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. And Advaitacharya is also considered to be the cause of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation. Because Advaitacharya offered Tulsi water, Tulsi Manjaris, and to the Ganges, actually offered water from the Ganges and Tulsi Manjaris to Krishna while meditating on him, meditating on Krishna, and it's described that Advaitacharya roared very, very loudly to call Krishna to come. And because of, he actually saw that people in this Kali Yuga were suffering and that he could not make them Krishna conscious. Can you imagine that, his humility? And then when he said, I'm going to make Krishna appear. If my name is Advaita, then I'm going to force Krishna to appear. And so he did, by chanting and causing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear. All right. Let's see another story. Oh, here's an interesting story. Once upon a time, as all stories go, Advaitacharya was worshipping, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sorry, Lord Chaitanya was worshipping Advaitacharya because Advaitacharya was older. You're supposed to worship your older relatives, right? So Lord Chaitanya always paid respect to Advaitacharya, but Advaitacharya didn't like that. He thought, I want to pay respect to Lord Chaitanya. I want to be like Lord Chaitanya's disciple. I want to be chastised by Lord Chaitanya. So what did Advaitacharya do? He started teaching bogus philosophy. It's called the Yoga Vashishta. And when he started teaching the bogus philosophy, Lord Chaitanya got very angry with him. So Lord Chaitanya said to Lord Nityananda, let's go and see Advaitacharya. And so they went along the banks of the river, Ganges, from Mayapur to Shantipur, and they stopped in someone's house to take prasadam first. And this was like a rascal sannyasi. So they stopped in the person's house, and they took some food, and after they had eaten, this rascal sannyasi was also married. He said to them, do you want any happiness with your meal? You know this story? And so Lord Chaitanya said, what does he mean, do you want happiness? And Lord Nityananda said, he means, do we want to drink liquor? And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he got so upset that he ran out of the house and jumped into the Ganges and swam all the way to Advaitacharya's house. Because whenever you do anything or see anyone impure, you're supposed to jump into the Ganges without even taking your clothes or changing your clothes. The statement is, if you see someone who is materialistic, you're supposed to immediately jump in the Ganges. Don't even have time to put your swimming suit on. So what do we...
I just swim, I changed shit underneath my clothes while I was running, I jumped in my clothes.
So what are you going to do in Sydney when you see a materialistic person? There's no Ganges there.
Just jump into the beach.
You take a little spray bottle, you know, like you use for flowers, yeah. Or Tulsi Devi, you see those little spray things? And every time you see a materialistic person, you just go like... That would be funny, right? People would think you're crazy. So what happened is that Lord Chaitanya jumped in the Ganges and they swam to Advaita's house. But Lord Chaitanya was so angry with the Advaitacharya, guess what he did? He pulled him out of the house, threw him on the floor, and started beating him up. That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
I've got that story.
Oh, you know that story. And then Advaita's wife was saying, you're going to kill the old man. He's going to die. And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't care. He's teaching bogus philosophy.
What is that?
Bogus? Bogus means bad philosophy, wrong philosophy. He was teaching basically that worshiping Krishna is not so important. It's better to study philosophy and not worship Krishna. That's the Yoga Vashishta philosophy. Just mental speculation. And so Advaitacharya was there, but Advaitacharya was in ecstasy. He was saying, oh, finally he's kicking me, he's hitting me, Jai, Haribo. Then Lord Chaitanya understood that Advaitacharya had made a mistake. Advaitacharya made a trip, not a mistake, so that Advaitacharya could get beaten up by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what Advaita wanted. Other times, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda visited Advaitacharya in his house, and Advaitacharya served them prasadam. And Advaitacharya served them very opulent prasadam, and Lord Chaitanya said, this is too much. It's not good for a sannyasi to eat so much. And Lord Nityananda said, this is not even a little bit. I've been fasting for so many days, but this is not even fill like one tenth of my belly. And Advaitacharya said, just be quiet. Just eat what I have to give you. And Lord Nityananda got so angry that he threw his rice on the ground, and the rice hit the body of Advaitacharya, and Advaitacharya started dancing and said, now I've become contaminated by being hit by the rice of Lord Nityananda. So Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda, many times they would have arguments with each other. But this was a very, very spiritual, blissful argument. It's like two people playing, like you both play with each other sometimes, right? But you still love each other, right? No. You don't like your sister?
No, I'm the annoyingest sister.
What can you do? But Lord Chaitanya and Advaitacharya, they loved each other very much. And so some other stories is that Advaitacharya also took care of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur used to sometimes live with Advaitacharya, and Advaitacharya would give Haridas Thakur what's called the Shraddha Patra. You know what that is? That means, do you ever know what Shraddha is? Shraddha is when someone passes away, someone dies. Who dies? In this world, who dies?
People.
Which people? Everyone! Very well. Right?
Even animals too.
Everyone. Wherever there is birth, Krishna says in the Gita, death is certain. Right? Birth, death, disease, old age. So, when someone dies, you're supposed to have this ceremony for them on the anniversary of their passing away. Did you ever see that? I'm sure they've seen that ceremony.
When?
They wouldn't know.
They wouldn't know. Like,
they've gone to the ceremony.
But they've gone to the ceremony.
Yes, sir.
So, sometimes every year, anniversary means like a year after someone passes away. Then you have a ceremony where you offer, pray to Krishna, and you offer food to the best devotee. That's part of the thing. You also offer, there's some special preparations. You've been to any of them?
Yes.
I remember Ramanuja used to do them all the time. Yeah, we used to go to his house. That was when I was eating opulently.
And also Chakrapani.
Yeah, Chakrapani, yeah. In South India especially, they do this quite a bit. And so you're supposed to offer it to the best devotee. So Advaitacharya would offer it to Haridas Thakur. And people would criticize. Because Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. And at that time, people used to think if they were born in a Brahmin family, they were better. Even in India, it's like that today, too. They have this thing called a caste. You ever heard of that before? Someone says, I'm a Brahmin by caste. Another person is a Vaishya or a Shudra. Even within the Brahmin caste, there's many what we call sub-castes. Just like there's that story. Here's a nice story for you. Once upon a time, there were two Brahmanas who were in Vrindavan together. Okay, so if you can hear this story, you like this. Two Brahmanas, and there was a younger Brahmana and an older Brahmana. And the younger Brahmana was serving the older Brahmana. And the older Brahmana was so happy with his service, the older Brahmana said, because you were serving me so nicely, you can get married to my daughter. You probably heard this story. And the younger Brahmana said, that's not possible because you're a different caste. We're both Brahmanas, but you're a high caste Brahmana and also a rich Brahmana, nice Jewish Brahmana. And Gujarati Brahmana or something like that. And the other one is not a lower caste Brahmana. But the Brahmana, the older Brahmana said, don't worry. My daughter is my property, I can give her to whoever I want. And the younger Brahmana said, all right, promise it in front of the deity Gopal. And so what happened is they both went back home, and the older Brahmana's family didn't like it that their father had promised to give his sister to this lower class Brahmana. And so he and his mother and all the other relatives said, if you do this, we're going to commit suicide. We're going to drink poison. If you let my sister marry that low-class, poor Brahmana, we're going to kill ourselves. So this older Brahmana, he was just upset. You know, what can I do? What can I do? I don't want to lie. So the younger Brahmana finally came and said, you know, hey, where's my wife? And they said, you know, what is this guy talking about? And the younger Brahmana said, the older Brahmana promised. And the older Brahmana's son said, actually, this young Brahmana gave my father poison to make him say any damn thing. And he stole everything from him. And so they were all bewildered. Finally, it was decided that if Gopal, who was the witness, could come and say that this promise had been made, then the marriage would take place. So the younger Brahmana had to go all the way across India, all the way back to Vrindavan. And he went to Gopal and he said, my dear Gopal, you have to come and witness this promise. And Gopal said, that's not possible because I'm here. And, you know, but if you remember me, everything will be all right. You know, somehow or other I'll manifest my presence. But the younger Brahmana said, no, you have to come with me. And Gopal the Didi said, that's not possible. Didi can't walk.
Then he said, if you're talking, then you can come with me.
Yeah, if you can talk, you know. Like the Didi said, I mean, I never heard of a Didi walking. And the younger Brahmana said, well, I never heard of a Didi talking either. So if you can talk, you can walk. And so Krishna walked all the way across India and witnessed that promise. That was the Sakshi Gopal Didi. Did you see Sakshi Gopal?
So the marriage happened.
The marriage happened, and they lived happily ever after.
Always at the end of the story.
Yeah. And so Sakshi Gopal walked all the way across India.
Because there was another story like... There's a deity,
stole the sweet rice. You're thinking of deity stole the sweet rice. That's another story.
No, like, the deity said, if you look back, I'll stop right there.
That's it. That's the same story. That's good. You remember that. And so, the deity went all the way to a place called Vijayanagar. That's not where the deity is today. What happened is that once upon afterwards, the king of Puri defeated the king who was in charge of where the deity was, in Vijayanagara. And so the king of Puri took the deity and put the deity in the present place where it's called Sakshi Gopal. It's a village on the way to Jagannath Puri. It's a beautiful deity, isn't it? It's a very, very beautiful deity. The Sakshi Gopal is right before you get to Jagannath Puri on the same road. The deity was moved. That's not where the deity walked to. He walked to Vijayanagar, and then he was later transferred by the king. And then the king's wife, what is the king's wife called? A queen. Very good. Did you know that, Geisha? That's good. So the king's wife had a very nice nose ring with a pearl in it, and she wanted to give it to the deity. You know the story? No. But she was thinking, you know, but the deity has to have a hole in his nose. And so that night she had a dream. And the deity appeared to her in the dream, and the deity said, then when I was young, my mother made a hole in my nose for a nose ring. So you come and give me your nose ring. So the next day, Shima King went, and Gopal had a hole in his nose. Somehow or other, he manifested that, and therefore she gave the nose ring. So that was the Sakshi Gopal story. The reason I was telling that was for the caste consciousness in India. People usually don't mix with others of different castes. Just like even in Fiji, sometimes you have the people from Gujarat, they look down upon the other people, right? And they just say, ooh, those Indians! Did you ever hear that?
Yes.
So even though they're from India, you know, people are very much caste conscious. And even in America, it's not so much a caste consciousness, but it's sometimes it's based on wealth, and even the religion that I was born in, we considered everyone else of every other religion to be going to hell. The religion I was born in, they was considered the people who were born in that religion were the chosen people, chosen by God. And we could do anything and we go back to Godhead. It doesn't matter what we did. We could cheat, we could steal, kill people, but still go back to God because we were chosen. That's like caste consciousness a little bit. And everyone else, we had words for everybody else that were just like really low-class words. Like Goyim means low-class. And if someone, it's similar to some of the Indian caste tradition. And if someone married someone who is not of the same religion, and you can only be a member of the religion by being born in it. You couldn't join the religion. If someone married, the parents would reject them. They would say, you know, if you ask the mother, what happened with your son? She would say, I had no son. It's like in India. I've heard that happen in India, because I have some friends, some Gujarati friends, whose child married a Western person, and I asked my friend, where's your daughter? And the lady said, I have no daughter, what do you mean? They took all the pictures out of the house. Can you imagine that? They brought someone up. I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Why did they say, I don't have a daughter?
Because their daughter married someone outside of their caste. And so there's this whole consciousness, you have to marry someone in your caste, in the same family, in the same gotra. And I have another friend who, from Gujarat also, I have a lot of Gujarati people. His parents insisted that he had to marry someone of the Prajapati caste. You know, Prajapati caste, one of the castes in Gujarat. And they wouldn't let him marry anyone else. So they forced him to marry this girl of the Prajapati caste. He gets to India, and the girl looks like Surpanaka. You know, he arrives at his marriage ceremony just because she's in the same caste. And he never meets her before the marriage. It's just because she's the same caste. He sits down at the fire sacrifice, takes off the veil, and there's Surpanaka. And that's true. That marriage didn't last very long. So that's what happens with caste consciousness. But it says, the Vedas say, Lord Chaitanya says, quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam, if one is chanting Krishna's names, it's understood that he's a Brahmin. He's a real Brahmin. And if one is not chanting Krishna's names, even though they're born in a Brahmin family, they may be an asura. What's an asura?
A demon.
A demon. In the Bhagavatam, it actually says that many demons are born in Brahmin families in Kali Yuga.
In the dictionary, I was looking for a word. I found demons, and I read the meaning. It said evil cursed.
Yes. And so Ravana, this is interesting, Ravana was born in what sort of family?
Brahmin.
A Brahmin family. His father was, what was his father? Pulastya. And his grandfather was? Vrishrava. Yeah, Vrishrava was his grandfather. And so why did Ravana become Ravana?
Because her mother was a demon.
That's right, his mother was a demon. What happened is his father's first wife was very nice, and his father's first son was named Kropati. Kuvera. Kuvera is more than a Kropati, right? He's a Mahakropati. He's a demigod's treasurer. Okay. And so Kuvera was the first son, but then this other, Kekashi, came along. She was the daughter of one of the demon kings. And she came to Vrishravas and said, I want to marry you. And Vrishravas looked at her, because she was beautiful. She didn't look like... I mean, demons can sometimes make themselves very beautiful. Sarpanaka, when she first came, she looked really nice. Or who was another demon who looked very beautiful?
Putana.
But then, when Krishna killed her, she took her original beautiful body. And she was 8 miles long. Big Rakshasini. So that's why Ravana was born as a demon, but with Brahmin power. So he's a Brahmin demon. Or Brahmin Rakshasa, it's called, technically speaking. Okay? And that's probably... Okay, that's enough for class today. We went an hour already. So tomorrow we'll speak more about Advaita Acharya.
Can you sing the Hanuman song?
Later. Later. Now it's time for prasadam, right? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Sri Jaya.
Hanuman.
Hanuman, oh Hanuman, oh Hanuman.